This helps me see the words. Last week we learned that God wants to renew our spirit, that we are more than just physical beings, that we have soul and spirit that can often become weary by the circumstances we face. Anybody feel weary? Did anybody feel weary during COVID? Everybody had an opportunity to recover, and even though time goes a lot faster now. But we need to allow God to forgive us as we repent and walk in new life. Today we are going to continue the sermon series called Renew. And if you happen to miss out on last week's sermon, you can actually go online on our YouTube channel and you can pick it up there. But if we are honest, we are all in some state of kind of renewal from time to time. Sometimes we have to renew a driver's license. Sometimes we have to renew a passport if we want to travel. And sometimes we even have to renew our marriage vows. But when something is renewed, it gets new life. It is freshened up. Something like the microphones that need to be plugged in during the week in order to be freshened up. Your Sunday. Yeah. It gets new life. But life has a way, sometimes, of making us feel stuck. We can feel like life is happening around us rather than the full life that Jesus offers. And we can sometimes feel like we're just going through the motions. If you are there, or ever have been, there's an opportunity for us to be renewed. Now, I don't know if you've been following much of the Asbury College Renewal and Revival, but Major Lauren Pritchett, a retired Salvation Army pastor in Newfoundland, wrote this morning. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried, this is actually a psalm that grace can restore, touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that were broken. What will they do? They will vibrate once more. That's Fanny Crosby's words, but he says, as we head out to our congregations this morning, go expecting, go hoping. Our pastors cannot create revival any more than we can. Don't expect that. Hundreds of pastors and Christians have been hoping for this for themselves and for the congregations. Parents have been hoping that something would happen to engage their children in the deep things of God's Spirit and His Word, His will. And this intense move of the Spirit has been life-changing for millions of people. We don't need another Pentecost, as we talked about last week in our Bible study after church. We need the one that happened 2,000 years ago to unleash its power here and now. He continues to say, and I concur, revival starts in our hearts, one heart at a time, when in an intense work the Holy Spirit gives us the courage to repent and renew. Please expect an urge that you should not deny. It may start small, but in big. We will have skeptics. We will have cynics. But when an intense Holy Spirit awakening happens, it won't matter a row of beans. Please be in prayer that the current fires of the Holy Spirit, renewal and awakening at Asbury College, would sweep right through our land and our country. And that the Holy Spirit is proven that He can resurrect, that He can redeem, that He can renew, that He can revive, and He can leave us talking about, thinking about, and living for Jesus with great joy and infectious testimony. This, he says, is not hype centralized. This is the Holy Spirit made in the hearts of those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And it's a quiet move, a humble move. Someone has said, it's not how high you jump, but how straight you walk when you land that authenticates the miracle. We can't create this, but we can crave it humbly. So let's do that. Isn't it wonderful to hear them laughing and having fun out there? It's absolutely amazing. The 70s revival of Asbury touched hearts of the army, and the words that resulted were a miracle. Yes, a miracle. God's Holy Spirit came, and we were not the same. For He touched us and filled us with His love. With my hand over my heart, I am saying right now, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place.
Hallelujah.
He can take us from surviving. We're not just surviving. He can take us from surviving to thriving, from talking about the church to talking about Christ. And there is a difference. From barren altars to blessed scenes of repentance and salvation. Be urgent. It will be costly, but it will be an investment that will affect the eternities of dozens. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Many of us have felt like at times that we need to have fresh renewing of God's Spirit in our lives. We have felt that the batteries have been low. And we feel this way because we've lost our sense of purpose. And we run the risk of feeling exhausted by the same office cubicle, the same daily routine, the rat race, the sense that we live each day with nothing to show for it and no meaning. You know, some of these past years have sucked the life right out of a lot of people. And it's left us looking for something more out of life. Whenever we feel like we are running low on steam and needing to be renewed, there is only one source that will suffice. We have to go back to the source of life, and that is the God of the universe. This is where we must receive our God-given purpose that can give us new life, right in the middle of our search for meaning. The scriptures speak to this purpose, and if you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, either in the Bible, the pews, or on your devices, Paul writes to the Christians living in Ephesus, and it turns out that the struggle with needing a fresh purpose and a meaningful life is not a new struggle. Paul is expressing it in Ephesians chapter 2. And I actually have Acts open, but Ephesians 2 and 10. Says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, some translations say we are God's workmanship. The Greek word here is used poiema, P-O-I-E-M-A. It means creation, or that which is made. It's where we get the English word home. We are God's handiwork. We are His creation. He dreamed us up. He's the author of our lives. He's where our purpose comes from. So God made you and I on purpose and for purpose. Think about it. God made you and I on purpose and for purpose. Whenever we create anything ourselves, we take great pride in that object. Just look around the foyer. As we worked together this week to create the carnival theme for the 62 people and probably more that have registered and will become part of this event. Take notice of the tickets. It's a Jesus carnival. It's got scripture verses. It says repent. It says love. It says shows all that kind of stuff. You know? And when you look, take a step back and look at it, it's pretty good. I've got to say so myself. You know, it looks great, and the eyes of Brea was just, as she came through the doors, went wide with excitement. Worth it all. Oh, that we could take a lesson from the children. It's exciting. It's exciting when Meredith and I were making cotton candy yesterday, and even though last night it felt like my body had a full sugar scrub. I'm excited for the connections, for people that keep coming. And we take great pride in creating a space that is safe for all people. You see, there's a reason that the creation story in the book of Genesis speaks of God creating each day and ending each day by saying, it is good. It is good. He called you good because you are His creation, and He made you on purpose and for a purpose. Because He made us, then He has the right to give us our meaning for our lives. Paul reminds us that we were created for good works that God has prepared for us to take part in. And though we may feel that we have no purpose in life, God reminds us today that though we have existed so far in life for only ourselves to show up, build, breathe, eat, and sleep, a renewal of heart and mind, and a greater purpose. You see, before Paul was Paul, what was Paul's name? Anybody? Saul. Saul was a Pharisee. He was a Jewish religious sect of men that were dedicated to enforcing Jewish laws and customs. They were not very kind to people in the early church because the new movement of Christians was seen as a threat to the Jewish establishment. And Saul was incredibly zealous for his Jewish faith, and was even recorded in the books of Acts as overseeing the stoning of the first Christian, Stephen. If you had asked Saul for the purpose of his life, he would have told you that it was to stomp out every Christian and to ensure the survival of the religious elite. But Saul, despite his beliefs, was the handiwork of God. And God had better plans for him than the destruction of the early Christians. The scriptures tell us that one day his life was transformed forever and he was renewed. We find that in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. What is it? It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Saul had a misplaced purpose, a misplaced meaning. He was missing the good work that God had planned for him. He was not living up to his God-given potential. Some of us may feel that we aren't either. Maybe we have a misplaced purpose. Some of us, even this morning, can relate to Saul and your life is marked by maybe negative aspirations or evil intentions. The way you have lived thus far has resulted in harm and pain to people around you. Others of you may relate to other people. Your life has been marked by hard work and responsibility. You've provided for yourself and your family, yet you get the sense that there is something more that God wants you to do. I want to be clear today that I'm not talking about jobs or career. I'm talking about things that you can give yourself to with passion. We listened to Sharon's story this morning. I can guarantee you that when she shares her story at a cash register, that she shares it with passion. This may have to do with a person who you want to invest in, or a mission that you can use your gifts and your talents. Remember, God has planned good things for you. And He's placed talent and skill and resources and influence within you to cause you to be effective. The scriptures do not speak to whether or not Paul was at some kind of crossroads within his life purpose. But God wanted him to use him for something great. It was going to take God's intervention to help him discover a better reason for living and a renewed purpose for his life. Acts 9, 1 to 9, the story of Saul and how his life changed. You can spend some time this afternoon reading that story. Our leadership team believe that God's intervention and reason for living is giving us as a church a renewed purpose. We don't have to be like other churches. Is there anything that says that we have to be like the Salvation Army down the road? Or the United Church down the road? Or the Presbyterian? We don't have to be like other churches and offer the same programming. When there's a perfectly good program, happening over here that people can be involved in. We don't have to go back to the way it was, because we believe we are in the midst of a people finding Jesus. And so the first of our family fun days happen tomorrow. And in case you didn't know it, I'm excited. Yeah, some people might call it disruption. Some people may call it, oh, what's all this in the foyer? Let me remind you of the little girl's eyes.
The little girl's eyes.
Oh, that we would look at things that we would see as disruption with the wide eyes of a child, of anticipation and excitement of what she is about to be engaged in tomorrow. But even to take it one step further, for what, how we are going to engage with people and share Jesus with them. So, is it divine disruption? The very spirit of Jesus, whom Saul was persecuting, confronts Saul. He is knocked to the ground. He is blinded by a great light. And God steps in to renew Saul's life by, yes, changing his plans, reorienting Saul around a brand new mission. And when the scriptures speak to it, it is disruption. But it often takes disruption to get our attention and reorient our lives. For Saul, it was a bright light. I don't think it was like last week when Harry had an epiphany at Bible study after church where I could just see the light bulb go on. He's like, oh, that's what that means. For us, that bright light experience can happen in so many ways. If you want to know what your current purpose is in life, then just look at where all your time, energy, attention, and affection go. Many people invest all their lives in purposes that do not really matter in the end. Sometimes God offers us disruption that can help us find renewal. We spend our time partying until it starts to affect our schoolwork and our family. We spend all of our time trying to make money. We work constantly until we realize that we've neglected our family. We work constantly until we spend all of our time trying to become popular. And then one day we realize we have worked so hard for people that they do not really care about us. Yesterday, Meredith and I spent the day covered in cotton candy. For what? A divine disruption to our Saturday. But we want to do something, and as part of the leadership team, to speak Jesus into people's lives. And if that takes cotton candy and popcorn and fun and games, so be it. You see, everything is set up. And if after church you want to wander, where you can hear the kids playing up there today, they're testing out all the wonderful games that are in the back room this morning, making sure they work right. You know? Yes, it's a disruption. So what? Listen. Hear that?
Beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. It is, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
The foyer doesn't look as it did last week, nor may it look like it did like this next week, but it may look like something else. Can you imagine if we took the time to pray for every person that will eat a bag of chips tomorrow? Took the time to pray for every person that will have cotton candy. Every person that's going to fly the paper airplane through the hole to get tickets. Or every person that's going to be on the jumping castle. Or every person that's going to play any different type of game that this place will be put into. Can you imagine? Saul's life was completely altered by Jesus' intervention in his life. Jesus got in the way of Saul's own purpose. But Jesus had different plans for Saul. Jesus cares about us enough to intervene in our lives as well. And God will use anything to help us discover our God-given purpose in life. I remember my husband having a conversation with someone 7 years ago, and he said, I will do absolutely anything to get children into this church as part of our church family, whether it's on Sundays or Mondays or Tuesdays or Saturdays. It doesn't matter. If I have to go out and stand on my head with a red nose. I'm still waiting for that to happen, by the way. And he said, looked at him and he said, I don't believe that the children should be making noise in the church. They're no longer here. And since then, we've come through COVID and all that that entails and so many other different disruptions. But they're divine disruptions. We can't look at the past as disruptions that are for negative. We may feel that way sometimes, but the disruptions are divine disruptions so that we can move forward. Stop looking in the past and move forward. This restoration is spiritual in nature. You see, Saul was God's chosen instrument to proclaim the good news of Jesus to the Gentiles. How would it feel if we knew, each one of us here today, or listening online, knew that we were a chosen instrument of God for doing good in the world? Sometimes God uses people to get people on track. Sometimes he uses circumstances. Sometimes he uses hardship. Sometimes he even uses the Bible. Sometimes he uses opportunities. Either way, we have to keep our eyes and ears open to find our purpose for which we were made. You see, God has disrupted the church. God has disrupted the church. He wants us, and not just us as the church, but the broader church, to have a renewed purpose. To bring Jesus in whatever way we possibly can to others. To the carnival, to Sunday school kids, to Cafe Connection on Wednesdays, even through a game of pool. Did you see that at the foyer? Yeah. You believe this? That was donated to our ministry here. That was donated. We didn't have a pool cue stick, the cue. The pool cubes, they're not sticks. And so I went on Facebook Marketplace and I was chatting with this gentleman and said, you know, we're looking for some cue sticks and whatever else, you know, pool cubes, whatever else that we can use for an opportunity for fellowship and relationship and for youth and for young adults and old adults. And I said to him, I said, you know, you can't head it up for $80. I said, well, I can do 40, because it was a whole rack and six or seven pool cubes and, you know, the chalk and the tips and everything else. So I said, and so he said, you said this was for a church? I said, yes, this is for the Salvation Army. And I just sent him our link. He said, okay, come by, pick it up. No charge, it's yours. You can't tell me that that's not a God thing. In an opportunity where we can just come together, Cafe Connection, have a game of pool, men's group have a game of pool, kids have a game of pool. I wanted to come down and set it up late Friday night. Somebody else didn't want to, you know, but, you know, it's a God thing. And if God opens the door, even though there may be disruptions because it's not what we've done before, we've got to walk right through it. We've got to walk right through it. And so there's a path to purpose, and I'm just about finished. So anyway, renewed purpose given to us from God will always align with what God has already stated in the Bible. God will not contradict his word. Second, renewed purpose for our lives is almost always something that we cannot do on our own. God's plan for us requires his involvement and empowerment. Thirdly, renewed purpose is often confirmed through obedience. Rarely does God give us the entire picture at once. Did I really want to have the pool table? You know, go get the family services van, get the pool table in, bring the pool table in, and go up camp and got casters to put on it so it can be wheeled wherever. Yes, I did. It was a disruption to my day on Saturday, but a good disruption. Living out God's purpose for our lives requires faith, and it means we must step out in order to find out. And after Saul is visited by Ananias, he receives his sight, and his entire life purpose changes. He goes from trying to destroy Christians to being a main contributor to the spread of the gospel. You may be within the listening of my voice this morning and you're saying, you know what, I'm too far gone. You may feel like God could not use you. You may feel like you don't have much to contribute. However, the life of Saul would suggest that God has never done with us, and he will use anyone for his kingdom purposes. This morning, as we conclude, I invite you to stand where you are. And just, if you wish, just to place your hands out. And just as the music plays a little bit in the background. Do you really believe that this church can grow? Do you really believe? Do you want to be part of that divine disruption? That divine purpose? You look at The Chosen last Sunday night, which we showed the first episode, and showing again tonight at 6. There were 17, 18 of us. Another new gentleman came in and was part of The Chosen with us from the community. I know another person coming tonight from the community. Ways and means in which God is using different things to make a difference in people's lives. And so this morning, as we stand and as we sing together, Lord, I come to you. Our path to purpose is coming to him, is making sure that we are in a right relationship with God and that we firmly believe that God is doing, and I said it 7 years ago, and I'll say it again.